We'd like to welcome our radio audience to Sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. If you are blessed by this radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gift would be greatly appreciated. Gifts may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. This coming week, our church on March the 19th will be sponsoring our community meal. It is from 5 to 7 o'clock here at Trinity United Methodist. Please join us for free food and conversation. On March the 28th, Trinity is hosting a Lifeline family service. There will be here doing screenings. If interested, please call the church at 812-523-3072. Our flowers and radio this morning is sponsored by Beverly Paffenberger. Our scripture this morning is from Philippians 3:17 through 4:1. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many lie as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lovely bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Our sermon this morning is entitled Courage by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Good morning. A two-lane highway bisects the little town that Dee and Dolly live in. Highway 2 is not nearly as congested as the interstate before a big football game. Nevertheless, the highway is very busy. In that part of the state, the winds often throw off the sounds of an approaching vehicle, and this makes it very difficult for a person with limited or no sight to be able to judge when an approaching vehicle is coming at them with any great speed. On their own, early the first week after leaving training school, Dee and leader dog Dolly prepared to cross Highway 2. Her hands on the handle of the harness, Dee gave the command to go forward, thereby entrusting her life to the leader dog Dolly. Just as they reached the crown of the road, Dee heard a vehicle approaching with considerable speed on the right. The direction of the wind had blocked the voice of the farm truck and was almost upon them. Too scared to rush forward and to continue crossing the street, she gave the command to the dog, "Around, around!" And the dog jetted back to the curb. And the woman collapsed and wrapped her arms around the dog and she said, "I'm so sorry, Dolly, I'm so sorry." She had not yet learned to fully trust the leader dog to protect her life. As she sat there with her arms around the dog's neck crying, it occurred to her that if she did not learn to trust this dog, her freedom would be taken from her. So she looked at the dog and she said, "Okay, let's try this again, Dolly. Let's try it again. And this time you're the one in charge." Her task was to trust the dog to guide her with her very life. The time to start trusting was now. Otherwise, she might as well turn in the dog and turn over her freedom as well. One evening, not long afterwards, it was the dog's turn to learn to trust its master. As they walked down the street that they had walked just a few hours ago, now there was a huge garbage can sitting in the middle of the street. And in the twilight hours, Dolly could not fully discern what that was and held her master back. It was her turn to learn to trust. The dog guide also had to overcome fear before she could carry out her work. Dee worked with her repeatedly, time and time again, until eventually Dolly could pass by the garbage can without any hesitation whatsoever, and they rejoiced. Each time that Dee tried to get Dolly to go past that garbage can, she praised her and praised her, until eventually, without hesitation, Dolly went by it, and they both rejoiced. Each refused to give up on each other because of their shortcomings. Would that not be wonderful if we as human beings could do the same? If we refuse to give up on one another because of each other's shortcomings, if we realize that we're all in this together with God and that we all must trust Him with our very lives and that we must learn to rely upon one another. You see, they gained enough internal strength to proceed forward with the quiet, intelligence, confidence of a mature dog team. Honesty of working together to avoid being overcome by fear builds any team, human, dog, whatever. With or without a disability, discouragement occurs in each of our daily lives. Standing firm brings a steadfastness of spirit and allows us to concentrate on making progress. Considerable gaining of heart happens whenever we adopt an attitude of determination, an attitude that we will trust God, an attitude that we will not give up on one another because of our shortcomings. We meet with whatever decision comes into our lives. At times, blindness is like the benign center line of the highway that suddenly becomes a high-tension wire. It takes both the dog guide and the human being working together to neutralize the threat of adverse conditions. Strength also requires gaining the capacity to show our fear to those whom we trust. You see, we've been raised that showing any fear, showing any emotion, is a weakness. And nothing could be further from the truth. To show those whom we trust our vulnerability, our fear, our disabilities, our hang-ups, is one of our greatest strengths. For God then can work through them. Strength also requires gaining the capacity to show not only fear, a weakness to one another. When life scares us, we can either curl up in a ball like a slug being poked, or we can say that we are going to trust in God and face things with courage. We will face any threat, any adverse conditions, because we know that we have a good and great and mighty God that will indeed stand by us no matter what adverse conditions we are preparing to face. Every time a person with faulty or absent sight steps outdoors, that step requires having made the choice to be courageous. It requires choosing courage over fear. Every time anybody with any special needs moves out beyond the known or the comfortable, there is great opportunity to meet courage. At the rise of each day, the first thing that each of us should do is to make a choice. Will we trust God with our lives? Will we trust those who are special to us? We will either meet that morning with apprehension or we will greet it with great courage and remind you that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is moving forward, feeling that fear deep within our belly, and knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that no matter what we encounter through that day, our good and gracious God will see us through whatever it is. From time to time, a blind person who uses an assist dog is asked if it is not humiliating to be led around by a dog. And inevitably, the response is always, no, it is not degradation whatsoever. Having that dog is not an affront. It does not make me weak. It makes me stronger and it gives me freedom. Just as any person with special needs has equipment, has a dog, has people walking beside them that help them to meet those special needs, they are rising above what they could look at as great fear, and they are choosing to challenge it with courage. Courage in every circumstance never comes with ease, but a courageous spirit is indeed contagious. By the time that you and I know courage, we also know humiliation and vulnerability. Vulnerability is a somewhat imposed, limiting handicap of our own by what we think of others who are thinking of us. Again, humiliation and vulnerability are not exclusive to those with a physical disability. Any special need of body, relationship, economics, or spirit can spawn similar trouble. Courage can nullify feelings of humiliation and vulnerability here too. By living the day-to-day of our lives as Christians, we stage a study in a quiet tenacity of persistent courage. Vulnerability is also a part of the body of our humiliation, which Paul speaks of in verse 21. The vulnerability speaks of our lack of capacity to give in to temptation, to the negative energies of others, or to anything that distracts us from the goal of being strong in the faith. Paul has a way of needling us into the reality of how we live out this faith. The troublesome we-they dichotomy of being a Christian dissolves. The familiar, holier-than-thou attitude disappears when we acknowledge that within each of us at least a few undesirable elements remain within us. We are as vulnerable to these humiliations of body and spirit as most Christians are, or any other member of the human family. You see, disabilities aren't just in bodily form. They're not just in mental form. Sometimes they come in the form of pride. Sometimes they come in the form of ego. Sometimes they come in the form of shame. Sometimes they come in the form of embarrassment. And until we can learn to move past those vulnerabilities in our lives, showing at least those whom we claim to trust those vulnerabilities, we do not have courage. Paul offers an antidote of courage for us, as he does for the people in the church in Philippi. He shows considerable passion to those early Christians. He addresses them with warmth as people whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, my beloved. His goal for them is to avoid defeating the higher ends to which a Christian aspires by stumbling over lesser focuses on earthly things. Verse 19. Special to each one of us is an extensive list of earthly things. Each and every one of us have earthly things that compete for our energies rather than having our minds transformed by God so that we might know His good and perfect and pleasing will to each one of us. Paul says, this is the God of the belly. Verse 20. Furthermore, in addition to ignoring negative dimensions of life, we have fun engaging in the activities of the belly. When earthly things prevail, we waste time on this negative stuff when a positive effort could have helped us to expend upon standing firm in Christ alone. Let us, as Paul might say, decide upon what we plan to stay focused on. Do we plan to stay focused upon God's Word? Do we plan to stay focused upon our church family and remaining in relationship and remaining in connection? Or do we plan to stay focused on the things that the world would use to divide, to terrify, to upset? We have plenty of upset going on in our world today. We must make a decision every single morning to have courage. And not just courage over the great big things. It starts with the decision over the little tiny things. For me, sometimes that courage is just getting out of bed. For me, sometimes that courage is making the phone calls that I need to make. For me, sometimes that courage is overcoming self. Addressing the Philippian church with the earnestness of an invitation, the apostle urges these folks to stand firm in the Lord. Standing firm is difficult. Standing firm requires that we contact the core of courage available within us, and that requires having enough self-compassion to give ourselves a second chance. I don't know about you, but every time I feel I've failed, this litany, this committee in my head starts a barrage. I don't even need Satan to mess with me because my own head will tell me how bad I've failed. The standing firm in the Lord requires that each and every one of us give ourselves compassion to start again with the Lord, to have a second chance. Speak not only of isolated incidents of courageous action. Even a hearty burst of courage will dissipate after its moment is gone. Our need for courage is ongoing. Courage is a chosen way, an attitude of response. Stand firm. Despite all effort to plant ourselves with resolve and to refuse to compromise, we need something beyond ourselves, and that something is Christ Jesus. Christ alone is the one that gives us courage to get up time and time and time again, to do the things in our daily life, to do the things in our work, to do the things required within us for healing. Christ alone is the one that can give us a true sense of courage. When the winds of the soul threaten to skew our perception, we must keep in mind that one from another realm keeps our direction steady. One who knows our Lenten journey to sacrifice something for our Lord, our Lenten journey to grow closer to our Lord, our Lenten journey to have courage. This one quells the taste of fear and stands with us, stands ready, stands steady. We call this one Christ Jesus. Paul says, brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example that you have in us. Verse 17. Let us seek our models and our mentors, those from history and those from our present surroundings, among these models of single-minded persistence are Paul and Christ. Paul's call to us is to stand firm, but stand firm in Christ, not in our own positive doings, not in our own courage. For as soon as we stand firm on our own, we are sure to fall on our face. As we will see throughout Lent and Holy Week, Christ will let nothing deflect him from his course or garble his purpose, for which we are very thankful. The transforming capacity of Christ, which awakens our capacity of transformation, is our saving grace. This is the holy glue that adheres hope to purpose. When our faith grows fragile, God, we need someone stronger than us to urge us forward. Bring into our hearts the living models of those who have been faithful to you. When we lose hold of hope, God, we need a measure of courage. Send us renewal of hope in whatever traditional or unparalleled form that will stir us to boldness. Remind us of our blessings. Remind us always that Christ is Christ. Amen.